Good morning, church, and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. My name is Pastor Jeff Glenn, for those of you who just tuned in. And if you're a continuing listener or a loyal listener, would I suggest that you share this if you've been blessed by it and like it so that you can reach a greater number of people. Let's go ahead and open up today in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord, that it speaks to us, that it provides for us the things that we need, encouragement, instruction. And as we look today, we see all of that. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week in the podcast, we gained some insight into Paul's attitude regarding religion in his letter to the Philippians. In 2015, a band called United Pursuit had a song titled Simple Gospel. And here are some of the lyrics. I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I want to know you, Lord, so I'm laying down all my religion. Lord, I've been told to be ashamed. Lord, I've been told I don't measure up. Lord, I've been told I'm not good enough, but you're here with me. And I reach out and you find me in the dust. You say no amount of untruths can separate us. So I'm laying down all my religion. And so this is the idea that I believe that Paul is driving at here in this third chapter of his letter to the Philippians, when he's contrasting the Judaizers in their insistence that Gentile believers add to the Old Testament way of worship, the prescription that the Old Testament had for worship and practice. They wanted the Gentile believers to add that to their belief in Jesus. And Paul was telling us in this letter that he had laid down his religion for Jesus. So Jesus taught as much when he ministered to the Samaritan woman at the well. And we know this chapter, or we know this story in John chapter 4, when Jesus had initiated a conversation with the woman at the Samaritan well. And so as the conversation progressed, she incrementally began to gain a deeper understanding and insight into who she was talking with. First, she saw him as only a Jew, and then she called him sir or recognized him as a man, then as a prophet, and finally, after the exchange that we'll go through here, she realized that she was speaking to the Messiah. In John 14, 19 through 24, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So what Jesus is saying is it's not about the place or the posture or even necessarily the practice, but it's about who you worship. And for us as Christians, it's all about worshiping Jesus. So it's not a specific set of rites or rules or rituals. And after all, Jesus is the embodiment of those, right? He fulfilled all of those. So when we look to and when we worship Jesus, yes, we do acknowledge those things as being something given to us by God, but fulfilled in Jesus. And so today we see that Paul is building on that idea of laying down his own religion, which, you know, he counted those things for loss. All of his great religious deeds, even his lineage in the line of Abraham, right? So he's encouraging us to fully lean into our position or our new status in Christ, and not necessarily for the sake of our self-righteousness, right? It's for the sake of the righteousness we have in Christ. And so we pick this up in verses 12 through 15 in his letter to the Philippians. Not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, But I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And so in these few verses, we see many things are revealed to us. First, we see that as believers, while positionally or status-wise, we are saved through Jesus' atonement for us, we've not already achieved that sinless perfection. We see that in verse 12. And we also see that we should want to strive towards Christ-likeness. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul told them to imitate him just as he had imitated Christ. So in that passage, he's not saying that to imitate him per se, but what he's saying is, hey, I imitate Christ, so you do the same. You imitate Christ. And in so doing, we're not imitating or we're not following any sort of rites or rituals or prescription or even any other man. We're following Christ. We're imitating Christ. We're trying to do what Christ does. The next thing that we learn is that our past shouldn't hold us back, right? So we have an enemy who would love, right, to, on the one hand, cheer us on when we succumb to our temptations, right? When we sin, he's cheering us on. But then on the other hand, he's going to throw that in our face and condemn us for failing. And so what Paul is saying is, forget that old self. You are a new creation in Christ, and so focus on that. Don't look behind to what is past, but forward to what is coming. And then we learn that your focus determines your destination. And so there is a goal or a finish line, and we all will one day stand before Jesus. And as 1 John 3:2 tells us, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we shall be like him. That's a big deal, right? I mean, that should encourage us already that our finish line, our goal, is to be like Christ. And the assurance that the Word of God has for us is that will happen. And so we shouldn't let our past drag us down. We should be focusing on that which is ahead rather than that which is behind. And so the next thing that we learn is that this is not our home, right? Earth, where we live at currently, is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so we touched on that a few weeks ago when right before we started Philippians, that our citizenship provides for us many benefits, not the least of which is spending eternity with Jesus, with our Savior. And so that's also a huge encouragement. So be encouraged, right? This world is not our home. That's why things can be so tough, right? That's why there's malevolence and good things happen or bad things happen to good people. And even in the best of times, right, when things are going great, it's still not our home. It's still not the best that it could be, because better things are yet to come. And so stay focused on your salvation, not on what caused you to need it, right? And then focus on and be encouraged that our home awaits. It's with our Savior, who is poised to come back and take us home soon and very soon. So be blessed and have a great week.